That was really good, y'all. I like that. And I love the tribute to the Carpenters. I've got to hang out with those guys a couple of times, and that's always special when those guys get together. You know, what's interesting, Brian, he got up here and told me, how Adam loves the Lord, and he is right. I mean, absolutely, I do. And I was sitting there thinking the whole time, like why I love the Lord, because probably the first, as soon as you become a Christian, you, try to be a good Christian, And if you're honest about it, and it took me years to kind of be honest about it, you're not that good of a Christian, I remember, that whole fear of the Lord, I probably spent 5 years of my Christian life being, living how you want Monday through Saturday and going to the Lord and kneeling down on Sunday and hoping, he washed everything away and don't do that anymore, Lord. And you go and you do the exact same thing. But I don't know when it happened. And I don't really know how it happened. I'm almost certain it happened when I tried to read through the Bible in a year, and it took me about 15 months, I think, to read the whole thing. And you just really read that book and you realize your need for the Lord, that you are not as good as you think. And I looked this story up because I think this kind of summarizes it for me. You read, Luke, I think it's 17, and, Jesus is in Simon the Pharisee's house, and he's got the woman sitting there washing Jesus' feet with her hair and crying on him. And, he's like, well, he sure don't know who's touching him, And here he says this story. He says, two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Which one will love him more? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And I think that's the big thing with American Christianity. Really, we kind of look around and we compare ourselves to everybody else. And, you don't have to look far to find somebody you're better than, And you also don't have to look far to find somebody that's, where you'd like to be, but we always seem to look behind us. And I just never, forget, I'm not that good of a Christian, and I'm probably the least worthy to be up here talking to you guys. If you watched me enough, this past year, you'd be able to find moments where you're like, look at that guy, and he says he's a Christian, and, but that makes me love the Lord all the more. I'm a 500 denarius forgiven guy, and I'm so thankful for that. So how can we not love him, And it seems to be the people who act like they have it all together, and they're the meanest people. Y'all can go on now, But it's like, I don't know, I just don't want to be a 50 guy, I owe Jesus a lot, so how can I not love him,
Baby Jesus, born in a stable, a humble Savior's birth. You left your throne in heaven above to live here on the earth. Baby Jesus, lying in a manger, crying for the world. The angels told the shepherds of the good news for us all. Hallelujah, the King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Come ye sinners and ye saints, peasants and all kings, and bow before the earth's Redeemer. Let all voices sing, hallelujah, the King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah, the King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Baby Jesus, do you know you'll die for all our sin? But don't be afraid, for in 3 days you will rise again. You will rise again. You will rise again. You will rise again. Hallelujah. The King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. The King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. He's born in Bethlehem. He's born in Bethlehem. Oh.
Thank you guys. It's man, what an honor to be here. Last week I was in Florida celebrating 22 years of marriage with my wife. 22 years on the 22nd, December 22nd. So, all right. So I've called this little message, Peace in Me, Peace in Us. And, a few weeks back, I talked about John 3:16, and the Lord saves us, got to be born again. How you guys stare at Jesus, like they stared at the cross in that Numbers Old Testament story when they all got bit by the snakes. We've been bit by sin, and just like they had to stare at the bronze serpent, we stare at the cross and we understand what that's all about, and we're forgiven, through all that. Then I talked about Philippians 4:13. We can do all things. That was not a like a sports thing. It actually meant that through Christ we can actually live this stuff out. And today I just want to talk about peace. We call him the Prince of Peace, and that's what a lot of this Christmas. That's what we think about, peace on earth. And we get that from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And to think about that Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Jesus actually came. 700 years went by. So, you think about all those generations that probably was like, oh, well, when is the Son going to be born to us? When is the Savior going to come? And, just like us, 2,000 years ago, what was written, that the Lord's coming back, that... all that stuff, and you got people now saying, oh well, where is the promise of this coming? When is he coming back? And thousands of years are gonna go by, and they're gonna be amazed at, like, wow, like he said he was gonna come like 2,000 years and all that time went by and then he really came, it's really gonna happen. Just like it really happened when Jesus came, somebody wrote about it 700 years before. We're really going to see the return of the Lord. That's really going to happen. And how can we not be, so thankful for Jesus and for forgiveness and for eternal life and all that stuff, So 700 years before he actually came, Isaiah wrote, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Do you have peace in your life right now? That's what I think about myself. Do I have peace And the thing is, this Sunday I do, man. I have total peace. Last Sunday, I was just in some crazy turmoil, just inside and everything that was going on. I'm going to unfold a little bit of that as I go along. Well, I want you to take a look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. I've got a book that I've written on the Beatitudes. And I say every year it's going to come out next year. So here I am saying in 2024, it's coming out. So this time next year, will I be saying 2025? So I've been saying that about 3 years now, maybe more than that. I don't know. But I've written on the Beatitudes and how the Beatitudes are a process that God takes us through. And, you know, it starts with being poor in spirit. You know, it starts, you know, like we kind of teach that, like, if you just say a little prayer, you know, all right, there, you know, there you go, you're saved, you know. But being saved is the beginning. And being saved, how are you saved? You're saved by saying, I am a sinner. I have nothing to offer God. He does not care for my righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags. And you come to God poor in spirit. You're saying, God, here I am. I got nothing. You know, compared to you, I am nothing. Will you save me? Yes. Yes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. You have access to the kingdom of heaven. And then you're going to mourn your sin, and then you're going to become meek, and you're going to become more wise, you're going to be living by this word, then you're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness, then you're going to become more merciful. And then it comes to this one. It says, God blesses those who work for peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And, you know, what does a peacemaker do? Now, when I was first read that, I'm like, yeah, it's somebody that breaks up fights, you know, stuff like that. No, y'all knock that off. But it's people who want this for everybody else. It's people who want the peace that I have in my life for everybody else. And I don't know about you, but it's hard to tell people far from God about God and why they need Him. I have become more and more just blunt about it. You know, I used to just try to like dance around it. You know, maybe I need to come to church a little bit, you know. But now I'm just getting to where, like, you know you're lying to your parents, right? You know, God says all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire. You don't want to burn in the lake with fire, do you? Don't you need Jesus? Like, I've become more and more just like that. And the Bible says, like, right after this beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God, the very next beatitude says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. And the thing is, the more you live for this, and the more God transforms you, the more the world does not like you. The more the world does not care for the message that you have to say. But blessed are the peacemakers. For one, the peacemakers have peace in their own life. They have something that looks appealing to the rest of the world. And hopefully the rest so the world sees you live your life and the peace that you have in your life, and they want what you have. And you don't ever say, well, live more like me, go to church more, do this more. You say no. You surrender your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You get into this book and you start doing what it says. You're going to read this book and you're going to find stuff that you do naturally. Great, God has really blessed you, but you're also going to find stuff in here that doesn't come natural. Love your enemies. I don't want to, all right? So what do? Man, Lord, I don't love my enemies. Will you help me? And the more you realize that you are not like He wants you to be, and you don't naturally do these things that He wants you to do, you will fall at His mercy. You will plead for His help. You will ask for heart change. You will ask for the Holy Spirit to enter you and help you do this stuff. And man, you'll love Him more. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. There's not a day in our lives where any of us in this room have met that commandment. We're going to sit here and say, yes, on this day right here, I loved him with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my strength. I can't say it. Can you? And then he says, the second's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now your mind immediately has to go to the person that you like the least. You've loved that person as yourself? No, I have not. But he's the Prince of Peace, and I want this peace for the world. I want this peace for my enemies. I want them to receive the same mercy and grace and forgiveness that I have, because they need it just as bad as I did. We are all in this thing together. Let's go to Philippians 4:7. Then you will experience God's peace. Are you? Am I? Right now, which exceeds anything we can understand. You know, some of us haven't made this holiday. Some of us are around our family. Some of us, everything is perfect. But you know, there's other people going through it, man. I just sent a Bible with so many letters and, you know, money, you know, to a girl that, you know, lost her husband last year at this time. I mean, the holidays are hard and the holidays are rough for her. And I'll be honest, at the moment, you know, we want to say, oh, well, look how us Christians came together and bought a Bible, and look how much she's been transformed. By all indications right now, it looks like it's gotten worse. But is that okay? You know, are you not saying that really when following the Lord, you've never gotten worse before you got better? I have. You know, that's just the way it is. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. And then I fall off a cliff and I'm like, I didn't even do near that. And the Lord's like, well, let me pick you up and let's start it. You know, like I want to go from here to here in a nice, smooth, straight line. But it's more like, okay, I'm going to get there. Oh, whoa. Okay. And then I'm like, oh, I'm getting somewhere. You know, like it's just the way the line works. It looks like a stock graph, you know, if you've ever invested. You know, like, well, I'm putting my money in. Here's $1,000. What? It's only worth $600 now? Like, what happened? Like, yeah, you bought at a terrible time. You know, you just lost 40% of your money. And, you know, but it gradually works. It's about what? You know, it's just the way it works. It's just the way it works. This peace exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Let's think about that, man. Let's take the past year to think about it. How have we lived in Christ Jesus? Have we grown since the beginning of the year? Have we grown since last Christmas? Are we different because of this peace that we have that passes all understanding? And so let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Here's kind of what I wanted to say. I'm really dragging here. I got to get somewhere. Okay. So at the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. And Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Like, Jesus, you know, like we always think like, oh, he's just so nice. You know, like, nah, if you ask him an honest question, he'll probably give you an honest answer. Bring the boy here to me, okay? And Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Now, here's where we're going to get into this peace stuff, you know. Afterward, the disciple asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? You don't have enough faith. There you go. You know, you ask him an honest question, he'll give you an honest answer. Jesus told him, I tell you the truth, if you had even a little bit of faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Because here's the truth. Let's rewind 7 chapters before this even happened. Let's go to Matthew 10 and read a few verses there. Jesus actually sent those apostles out with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. He went to his own people first. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to preach to the Jews. Go announce to them. Go back one more. Was that it? Go to the next one. Yeah, we were good. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. 7 chapters before what we just read, he gave them the authority to do just that. So, of course, when it didn't happen, what did they say? No, why can't we do this? Like, I know you can, Jesus, but like before, we were doing this kind of stuff. What happened? Okay, let's finish. Sorry, I should have kept that up there. Give as freely as you have received. Okay, was there one more or was that it? All right, so here's the thing. He gave them a gift. 7 chapters later, that gift wasn't working. And, just full disclosure, guys, last week I was kind of just tore up. Like, everything was just coming at me. Just rapid fire. I was sitting there talking about, the week before I left, the last time I preached, I talked about all this peace that we can have. And guys, I had it. I believed everything that I taught you guys, and I had it. And it seemed like from the moment I left this pulpit, everything just slowly just started, just rapid fire on top of each other. Just little things that never stopped. Like all of a sudden, like everybody that I've ever counseled just started like needing me for something. And stuff at work, just everything. And I was just like, it just took, I finally about had enough. And my wife reminded me, said, you know what you preached the last week, right? And I'm like, Oh, man. And listen, this is how bad it was. I woke up at 2 a.m, just in turmoil. And I laid there in the bed. I said, man, I am going to get up and I am going to get this peace back. I'm going to just spend some time just in the word of the Lord and I'm going nowhere. So I turned my phone on. It's 2 a.m, okay? And this guy that I taught 7 years ago at the alternative school says, I don't know why I feel like the Lord wants me to reach out to you, but I'm walking up Highway 11, I'm freezing, I don't have any money, is there anything you could do, could you come and get me? And I'm like, really, Lord? Like, here I am, I'm going to spend some time in the word, and I open a text, and at 2:05 in the morning, this guy's sitting there, and I'm like, I'll see you in a minute. So I go, and man, we go, and I don't know if I've ever been to the Waffle House at 2:30 in the morning. And I just talked to him. We talked about this. We talked about staying on track with the Lord, and it ended up being a really good time and a good conversation. I told him I was going to be gone. I'm like, if you're walking up Highway 11 next week, you're going to be in trouble because I'm not going to be here, So I gave him some money, and it, like I said, it all ended up. And I just happened to turn the radio on, and the preacher on there said something like, in you know, our own cup gets filled when we fill the cup of others. And I'm like, wow, Lord, how do you do this? How do you work this stuff out? But when we were driving to Florida, I was like, I just felt like I was leaving everything. It was just so nice. But here's the thing. I felt like these guys right here, that I had all this peace, you know, and I was sitting there telling everybody about peace. But as soon as I left the pulpit, I didn't have peace. I was just in turmoil. And in asking the Lord, and me and Tanya went to this church that, and I heard this sermon. These verses that I'm reading. Why couldn't we cast out that demon? I got because I needed to hear this. And so I was just thinking, like, I want this peace, Lord. You know, why don't I have this peace? I preached, you know, all this. And man, the Lord, he just let me know that, like, man, you know, in the past little bit, you haven't built your faith. You know, I've been able to come in here and preach to you guys because that's just a gift that God gave me, to come in and talk to people about the Lord. And especially the gift to talk to people far away from the Lord about the Lord. He's really given me that gift. I don't have to study for it. I don't have to do it. And I think I came in here a few weeks in a row, not really studying for stuff, but just using the gift. And after I preached about having all that peace, and I didn't have peace, it's just the way the Lord works. He comes and he says, you don't have that peace because you haven't really been resting in me. You know, and today I feel so inadequate to be talking to you because I haven't concentrated on this talk. I have simply sat and just soaked in the Word, and I feel like the top of my plant above the ground has looked good and the roots have been neglected. And the top of the plant's now withering a little bit, but the roots are being fertilized and watered, and it feels so good. Because who cares if I get up here and look the part, guys? I don't want to look the part. I want to be the real thing. And I hope that that's what you want in your life. You don't want to look the part of a Christian. You want to be the real thing. Who cares if we stand before the Lord and he says, boy, you sure fooled everybody else. I don't want to fool everybody else. I just want to please him. I would rather you guys think I'm not and really be when I stand before him than the other way around. He gave them a gift. 7 chapters later, that gift wasn't working. I hear people talk about God's glory in the past tense. I hear about what used to happen in church, the way it used to be. Could it be that God gave a manifestation of his presence? People reveled and gloried in it, but then they didn't grow in faith. Isn't that what had to have happened? It wasn't like the switch just got cut off. I just think Americans especially thought, well, we're going to go to church and feel this all the time. I can live however I want Monday through Saturday, but I'll go to church and I'll get filled up. That is not what the Bible teaches. We are to grow in faith. Did you used to feel close to the Lord and now you don't? Could it be that you haven't grown in faith since then? Maybe this is why there's no peace. And I'm not indicting you guys. I'm indicting me, because this is what has happened, and it felt so good to just soak in the Word. I went to Psalm 1 and just meditated there. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You know, not so with the wicked, for they're like chaff that the wind drives away. I just loved soaking in it. Man, he's so good to us. I just like, Lord, I want to be that tree planted by rivers of water. Make me what you want to be. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. So This is what the disciples said after that little stint where they got to go out and do everything in Jesus' name. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." They're like, "This is the craziest, coolest thing ever. If we use your name, man, everything just works. It's awesome." You know? But look what the Lord says to this. "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." And like, you guys are being an awful lot like Satan right now. I'm like, what? Come on, Jesus. You know, like Satan. Yeah, he got all prideful like that. You know, boy, look how much people clap for me when I lift up praise to God. You know? So yeah, you got people clapping for you, and you're using my name. That's very much like Satan had in heaven. And I saw that guy fall like lightning. Look, I have given you authority. You didn't earn any authority, guys. I gave it to you. Adam, you were the one that told me when you got saved that just don't make you talk in front of people. I gave you this gift, Adam. Don't ever sit there and think that you are something special because you get to go up and talk to God's people. I have given you authority over all power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions, and you can crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because of all that. Don't rejoice because you can get up there and talk to people and move people towards me. Don't rejoice because when you pray, things happen. That's a gift that I gave you. Look at this. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. What does this mean for us? It's easy to rejoice for the things that I have and the things I can do. I can do this. He's given me the ability to preach. I don't want to just rely on that gift. I want to have faith. I want to grow in faith. I want to rejoice because of everything that this season is supposed to be about. I want roots anchored in the soil of God's word, grace and mercy given to me at the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through me. This is what I want. Most of all, can I constantly be encouraged and blessed by this simple fact? And is this not what the Christmas season is all about? Jesus came to save sinners, of which you and I were one, right? You know, everybody wants, when that baby comes into the world, "Oh, you are perfect." No, you are not. You're just not. You're sin loaded. And that sin will slowly grow and grow like a weed and choke out everything good if you get into the wrong things and it goes unchecked and you do not run into the cross and Jesus save you. Everybody, that's our fate. Jesus came to save sinners, and I am among the saved. Father God, thank you so much for this Christmas season. Where would we be? Let us all take a moment to think about what this world would be like had you never come 2,000 years ago. What would this world be like? What would I be like? I can't imagine how selfish I would be. And I'm still pretty selfish. And I got you in my life, Lord. I lay all that stuff at your feet. And I pray that everybody here has fallen on their knees at the foot of the cross. And Lord, if anybody has not done that, I pray that right now in their heart, in their mind, they just kneel down at the cross And Lord, they see you, the Savior of the world, with your arms outstretched, saying, forgive them, I know not what they do, all the way to it is finished. What is finished? The work that you did for us, for any person to be saved. Anybody here that does not know him, may you just in your heart simply say, Lord, I'm so far from you. Will you forgive me of my sins? And will you come into my life? And will you show me, teach me to live for you the rest of my days? Thank you for eternal life. Go to work on me right now. Amen. Lord, I just can only imagine, Lord, when the way you did it with me when I was 16 in the car with my youth pastor. I just want to thank you for that magic moment, Lord, where you turned everything around. Lord, I'm still not that good of a Christian, but because I'm not good of a Christian, I'm poor in spirit, I fall at your feet, and Lord, thank you for those words that I have access to the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for the birth of our Savior who came and gave his life that we might live, who came to pay a ransom for many. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.